So my name is Megan. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, and I have a degree in church music. I don't know if that's relevant, but that, and we do Patch the Pirate and Majesty music. I come from a musical family, so sometimes it feels like, oh no, I need to be, am I musical? Am I living up to the musical standard of my grandpa? Loved theory and had a lot of good philosophy about music and kind of passed that down. My mom is the only one of their kids who went into music and married a musician, and then it kind of trickled down to us. So I'm very thankful for my background. When I met Adam, I had already met him, but when we started dating, we were both in our mid-20s. And I had a few people caution me to not go into what my parents went into. And I think they had, maybe valid reasons, and they were just showing concern for me. But then my husband was like, God gave you this background and this experience. Like, you can use that. And it kind of changed my perspective of the experiences God gives us and how that prepares us for the future. And so that's such a blessing. And even if you don't, do what your parents do, God uses all of that experience and blesses it to be able to help other people and in the work that you do. So I'm thankful for that. So I was thinking I would title our time together and call it Thoughtful Singing. So, and I don't mean that in like, oh, we're singing considerately, in a very feely way, but I mean that when we sing, we already are full of thoughts, especially when we're singing in front of people. You might be self-conscious. You might have a lot of conceptions about singing, what it's supposed to feel like, what a breath is supposed to feel like, what producing tone feels like in your head and in your throat and in your body. And all of that affects what comes out of us. So we really want to try to analyze and kind of pick apart some of those thoughts, some physical and some more emotional and spiritual. And just like we want to be discerning about our thoughts, in our life, we want to be discerning about our singing thoughts. So it all starts with creation, right? Anything in life we think about, if you're thinking about in a gospel framework, we know that God made a perfect world. And he made our bodies with the capability of singing, with a capability of expression and emotion. And he said it was good. And we were made to sing. And it really is, you look at the physicality of it, and it can seem really, really physical. I recently saw a very gross video. Someone sang and put a little camera up their nose so that you could see their throat when they were singing. And it is so fleshy. It's like really gross. It looks like a science fiction movie with, some like monster, like you're going down the big monster that came out of the tunnel, and it's down this fleshy throat, and then it's like this nasty thing that's closing and opening when you're singing, and it like closes when you're singing, and then it opens when the guy breathes. And so it's like you look at that and it's like, oh, that's kind of gross. And it's very physical. It's a physical action. Our lungs are working. Our abs are working. It's resonating in our heads. But it's this comes out and it's this beautiful sound. Hopefully, right?
I will promise it.
And it comes out to be this like beautiful, communicative way that we can, yeah.
Sorry.
Please come in. That we can communicate to other people, and we can communicate worship up to God too, with this beautiful thing that he made our bodies to do. Singing is very natural. A thought that you might have about yourself as a vocalist is that I'm not a singer. I'm not a good singer. And so you having that thought is probably affecting how you sing. If you come to any activity in a self-deprecating way, like, oh, I'm not good at this, you're probably going to stand a certain kind of way. You're probably going to approach it timidly and shyly because you don't think you have something good to share and something good to offer. So that might be one thought you have. Singing is hard. We've all heard people pay tons and thousands of dollars to go hear one person use their voice in a very impressive way. And you hear them and you're like, oh my word, how do they do that? You know, there are a lot of, and it could be classical, it could be pop, but there are people using their gifts in a very impressive way. And so when you go to offer your gift and be like, oh, I want it to be good. I'm gonna try my hardest. I'm gonna do my best. And singing takes an incredible amount of energy. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Ray Gibbs, but I've sat under him a couple times and he's instructed me some. One thing he says is that the difference between an amateur and a professional is energy. And I actually thought this last night because I don't know if you all, I sang last night. And after I sang, Joy Legler was like, why do you choose the high? Like, why do you do that to yourself? And I was like, I don't know. No, but it was, we've been traveling a lot, staying in hotels. And your voice is in your body. So how you feel, how you're doing physically, how tired you are, how dehydrated you are, it all affects that. So I'm singing the beginning and we did mic check and I was like, oh no, I don't know if I have energy for this. But then there's something about being in front of people that gives you a little more adrenaline, a little more energy. And we got to that last verse and I was like, I got to do this. And I started breathing more. And I was like, oh my word, I've been under breathing this whole time. Because all of a sudden I had a little more energy. I could be a little more connected through the phrase. And I was like, I think part of it is I was just tired and wasn't fully committing to my breath in a way that could really sustain me through it. And so once I got a bigger breath, I was like, oh, that felt a little easier. Just I needed a little more breath than I was breathing. But so one thought you might be having is singing is hard, but what you might be doing is I'm going to go for it. I'm going to sing that high note. I'm going to take a breath. And you tense all this up and you try to suck in a bunch of air, tensing this. So you're already tense and then you go, and you tense this. It's already tense anyway, but you work too hard to bring it in. You work too hard to put it out and you're shot. you're tense. They talk about the extrinsic muscles, which are the muscles around your voice box. So it's not the muscles that are directly producing a sound like your vocal folds, but you imagine that fleshy throat. That's where your sound is resonating. If it gets all tense, it's going to affect all the connecting muscles as well. And then you might be forcing those vocal folds close together and you might have a pinched, forced sound and you're trying so hard. You want to do a good job. You want to sound good. I don't think that's a bad thing. God made our voices to be pleasing and I think beautiful. And so I think it's not a bad thing to desire that for your voice, but you might be doing things that are shooting you in the foot when it comes to that. So we're going to talk about that. So singing is hard. Well, singing takes a lot of energy, but don't bring muscles into it that have no business being brought in. I don't like my voice. That might be another thought that you might have. And that is, I can totally relate to that. And we do voice recordings, and I can go in to record, and the engineer I work with right now, we sing it, and I'm like, let's just do a take. And then I play it back, and I'm like, oh, I can't live with that for the rest of my life, you know, once you record it. So we're like, let's try it again. And I think we all struggle with thoughts about our voices. Like, do people really want to hear this? It's like listening to your actual speaking voice on a recording. It doesn't quite sound like how you thought it was going to sound, and you're not sure you like it. So we want to try to answer that thought in a way that is helpful. Like we were talking about, God made our voices. We'll talk about that more later. So these are all thoughts we have when we sing. Singing is a journey that you might experience differently in different parts, in different times of your life, as like a young teen and as you're starting to grow into your adult voice. And then for me right now, a tired mom, that can affect singing. Or as you get older and your voice starts aging, that starts affecting it. We kind of experience singing through our lives. And we want to endeavor to learn more about the mechanics of singing so we can understand our own voice, understand what's happening, the physicality of it. And so that we can, in our singing journey, that we can help ourselves. So singing is a lifetime of trying, of learning, of trying and failing, sometimes succeeding, but it is worth the effort. So we want to be thoughtful singers. So we want to analyze our thoughts, physical and emotional. We want to try to discard the bad and keep the good, maybe adopt some more good thoughts. We want to have a basic understanding of the mechanics of singing so that we can evaluate and try to identify our own vocal habits. And we want to try to get rid of the bad, keep the good. And we want to try to maybe adopt some ways that we can improve in our journey, maybe some daily practice, maybe some warm-ups before you sing in an attainable way. So how do we learn? We learn by watching. We've seen people sing. We've seen good singers. We've seen bad singers. And we learn from that. We learn by listening. Even especially nowadays, you can hear any song you want, any singer you want, just by looking it up on your phone. But we learn by listening to all of that. We learn by feeling. And we'll talk about this later, but in case I forget to say it, singing is about a feeling more than trying to produce a certain sound. So you want to learn to, okay, how does a good breath feel? Okay, how do I make a sound? Oh, I know that if I do this, my throat stays more open. Okay, that feels good. Okay, now I want to sustain it. I want to make sure my abs are engaged. You want to be more keyed into what's going on in your body and if it feels good and evaluating it by that, then like, ooh, do I like that sound? Oh, I want to sound more like that person. Okay, I'm going to add some more weight to my voice. I want to, I sound too harsh, so I want to soften it. Oh, I sound too nasal. I want to try to drop it into your throat. But we want to learn to evaluate and make adjustments physically and not just auditorially. So we kinesthetic, how we're feeling, what's going on in our body. We want to try to be aware of what's going on in our body. And then analytical. So just like trying to take in information and learn helpful things so that we can try to improve. So what are the steps of what goes on when we sing? What time is it? Okay. First, we breathe. The breath is what powers the engine. If we don't have breath, you can probably produce a note or two without breath, but not much more than that. You have to have breath in order to be able to sing. So we breathe first, and then we phonate. I think it's helpful to think of it like a balloon. You blow up a balloon with air, and then you tighten that top, and you hear a pitch come through. And it's those the sides of that top of the balloon hitting each other and vibrating and making that pitch. So you hold it tighter, you have a higher pitch. You loosen that up a little bit, and it's going to be a little lower. If you blow it up and then let it go, it shoots across the room, right? And that can happen too. Sometimes we let all of our air escape too quickly. And actually, if you're singing in a breathy kind of way, that's poor breath management, and you're going to run out of breath a lot sooner than if we want to try to have an efficient closure of the vocal folds. It sounds very more mechanic than anyway, whatever. Okay, so respiration, phonation, resonation. So after it makes that initial vibrating tone in our vocal folds, then our unique sound comes from our throat, our heads, our sinuses, and the sound bouncing around in those. Just like if, depending on what room you're speaking in or singing in, the sound is going to be different. That happens first of all in your throat, your head, and your sinuses, all in there. So that's why we want to keep it open and relaxed so that we can resonate the best we can and have we want to be able to be heard. It's hard when you're singing in a timid, insecure kind of way to really let your voice carry and be heard. And microphones are awfully good for that. They help me cheat a lot. If I feel my support kind of go, or my throat's a little sore and I'm having a hard time projecting, you eat that microphone, and it's amazing how it can, especially here, they're real good about cranking that sound up. Anyway, but that's not what we want to depend on. That's a crutch, right? Okay. So resonation, and then articulation being the final step when we're taking that sound and making it into words and sentences so that we can communicate thoughts. Okay, I'm going to skip that. So we've talked about a lot of these, but we'll just go over them a little more. What can go wrong? I thought about trying to frame this in like a gospel framework where you have creation, fall, redemption, consummation, you know? But I haven't quite worked out the redemption and consummation part, but it's like creation. We have, God made our voices to be beautiful and to be used. And then I'm like, oh, I feel the fall. I definitely feel the fall. I was like, we can breathe in a shallow kind of way. We can have tension, poor posture, poor role models, or trying to imitate somebody that doesn't have your same voice type or have your same voice. You might be trying to sing in the wrong voice classification. You might have poor adduction of your vocal folds. So that, and the two extremes are a breathy sound where you're not quite bringing them together in a effective kind of way. Or you might be pinching them too hard and too rigidly. And then your throat's probably sore after you've sung for a little bit. So those are kind of the two extremes, kind of up and kind of coming together tensely. So poor adduction too much throat and mouth resonance and not enough head resonance. And this one's kind of, I don't know if I even fully understand this, but I've heard it explained to me like the epitome of head resonance is more of a like an opera kind of Figaro kind of thing going on. yes, so let's hear an example. So kind of really keeping the resonance up here, and then a mouth resonance would be more on the musical theater, belting kind of end of the spectrum. And I don't quite understand all of that. And I think there is some people philosophically would keep to a very classical style, even thinking of that as like the best spiritually, you know, in a kind of an idealistic kind of way. And some people, oh, I thought you were going to say something.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, you're fine. I see that hand.
Yeah, I
put my hand. Yeah. So, and a lot of times we're singing for kids, and I'm singing, and so I can kind of utilize some more mouth resonance, but I think in my mind, and this, we're all going to probably think a little differently about this, but in my mind, someone who was trying to help me said, maybe you should look to like Julia Andrews or somebody like that, you know, Sound of Music lady, because she has a lot of classical training and uses a lot of head resonance, but it's a little more spoken in a way that it's not opera. It's a more musical theater mouth resonance with this and kind of like a balance between the two. So that's probably where I try to land, but I heard some singing in rehearsal last night. I heard some belting, which I don't know if I'm physically able to do, but I heard some of that in the rehearsing last night, and I don't even know how to do that. But that's a very mouth resonance. You're using your muscles and your vocal folds in a different kind of way. And you might have, anyway, there's a spectrum here. So I had classical training, and my dad had he was classically trained, but I felt like he did it in a very relaxed, communicative type of way. In a way that I felt like communicated and people connected with. So that's kind of like my ideal in my mind. So, and you might have different thoughts about that, but just so you know my perspective. So when I'm starting to sing for kids, a lot of times my throat does start to hurt and I start getting some tension. But then if I'm singing a church song, it's like, oh, finally. So I think there's a way you can do it in a wrong way. And my home base is more like, okay, I need more head resonance, and then my throat can relax. Because I think when I'm going into the more mouthy, I'm starting to adduct in a wrong kind of way. So my healthy is a little more on the classical head resonance side of things. So I hope some of that made sense. I don't know if that's helpful. But okay, so first, the reason I brought that up is because the book that I based a lot of, that I was reading to research for this, his opinion was that most singers have too much mouth resonance and not enough head resonance. So especially, like I consider myself an amateur. I sing when we travel and I sing in church sometimes, but most of the time I'm not singing as much as I would like to. And then we come back and I'm like, oh, okay, what am I supposed to do? How is this supposed to feel? And I'm trying to remind myself and give myself a crash course on these things. I consider us, we're amateurs and we're trying to learn from the professionals. He's like, too much throat and mouth resonance is a lot of times what is hurting your singing and causing extra tension, causing voice hoarseness, soreness, and limiting you in your range. So So that's my perspective too, is that we want to fix some of our problems. We need that head resonance. Okay, so our first step is to relax. Tension would be the first problems we kind of want to identify. I don't know if you've ever laid on the floor. We're obviously not going to do this today, but you can lay on the floor and think through every muscle and like, oh, am I tensing my eyebrows? Am I tensing my face muscles, my cheeks, my jaw, and kind of think through every muscle, my shoulders, my arms, and you just try to consciously relax with the goal being if you can relax, if you can feel any tension in those muscles, you'll know how to relax it. So you want to identify any tension that you might have so that when you're up in front of people and when you're trying to practice, you're like, oh, I'm like furrowing my brow and that's giving me a headache, or I'm like tensing my jaw and that's actually hurting my singing, or I'm, you know, whatever it may be. But we want to start in a nice neutral place. And when we are singing and standing, there are muscles that are working, right? Because we're not laying in a pile on the floor. We are engaging muscles, but you want to engage the right muscles. And some, that's a lot of the goal with good posture. Like if you are jutting your neck forward, and I think there is some leeway for this because when you're singing, you're probably trying to move your head. It's not like you're standing like a statue trying to like, if I mess up my posture, I won't sing well. But I think they're like, we're made to be able to move and still use this well. But if you have a habit of sticking your neck out, which I do sometimes, then your body, in order to balance itself, is using muscles to balance yourself in some other way.
Yes. Let's say that you're doing congregational singing, and atypically you're reading from a hymnal.
Yes.
Your head is bowing down. What would you suggest? Would it be better for a PowerPoint or on a screen or a traditional book? What would be the best structure if you say something like that?
Well, I probably ideally for singing, your head's like this, you know? But I think that there would be some leeway to tip, because I actually was listening to someone last night talk about that your body's, and it was in the context of singing, like your body is, your head's able to move without putting too much excess tension. So I don't think it maybe hurts as much, like you wouldn't want to sing like this all the time. And I kind of like, I think they're just different. I don't think it's necessarily going to hurt your congregation's worship too much by like everyone singing tensely because their head's tilted 45 degree or whatever that is. But I think it is, I kind of enjoy both for different reasons. So I don't know. I think it's like personal preference. So we want to identify any tension that we might have. And so what was I just saying? Oh yeah. Like sticking your neck forward. I think some is hunching. This goes hand in hand with posture, but like hunching, a lot of it will sit at a job. You might have, be able to exercise as much as you want. And so you might have muscles that aren't as, you're standing up straight, really healthy, I'm an active person, muscles may not be as strong as they could be. And Adam and I have been talking about this because he works out and I do not. So he's been telling me like, oh, if you know, when you're working out those muscles, you naturally stand up a little bit more. And talking about creation, like if we were made to be active and made to be working in the garden and made to be using and developing those muscles, that probably is the healthiest way to be. And a healthy body is a healthy voice, you know, and using those muscles. So we want to stand up as straight as you're able, not in a rigid kind of way, but in a relaxed kind of way. I think standing up straight also affects you emotionally, and kind of going back to that, like, oh, I don't know. They pulled me into this singing group. I didn't really want to be here. I don't know if I even sing that great. And so you're kind of like, you know, I actually have a songbook here. So you kind of have a group, especially teens, and they're all like, okay, you know, getting in there. And they have their book. And it's so, I for some reason, I don't know if it's psychological, I feel like if you start a song singing in front of people and you start looking down at the book, it's so hard to look up. It's like you kind of glance up instead of like if you start up. It's like, okay, I'm here. I see you. I know you're watching me. It's okay. And then you look down and check the music. It's like, oh my word, you're in such a better place than you see. It's like, I don't know. And maybe a lot of times you threw that special together sometimes and people don't know their music as well as they could. But even if you don't, you can pretend. And, you know, if you know what note you're starting on, you already checked. You're up here, and then you're checking instead of the opposite way around. But even if you're holding a book, making sure, you know, however you can hold it so that you can have that good posture. And maybe that goes for congregational singing too. And congregational singing is hard too, because sometimes we rolled into church, threw our kids in the nursery, walked in, and I'm like, oh, you know, like you're already kind of fighting against your life to try to sing. To sing well, to engage in the worship, and so ideally we got there early and we sat in the pew and meditated and were a little more relaxed. But so having good posture, having good posture does start with your feet. You want to have a nice wide stance. Can you guys stand up with me, if you don't mind, right? So we want to kind of have a shoulder width apart. So this is sometimes hard for girls. I mean, shoulder width is not that much. But sometimes, you know, girls like to stand with their feet together, you know, have different things that make us feel secure when we're standing. So you kind of want to have a shoulder width apart and then move up to the soft knees, right? You don't want to have locked knees, and you don't need to bend them in an unnatural kind of way. You just want them to be a little soft, okay? Then you move up to your hips, and you don't want your baggage stuck out, you know? I think sometimes different people can stand like that, or you don't want it slumped in this way either. So you don't want a duck tail or a dog, like with a, you know, that's just been hit. So you want to kind of have a natural neutral position in the middle. And then you want to make sure your ribs are nice and lifted. Our lungs are all in there. We don't want to, our lungs are like, why are you doing this to us when you're like sitting down on them and they have to work harder? You want your ribs nice and up. For relaxed shoulders, I think it's helpful to stick your arms out and then relax them and then drop. And so kind of having nice, relaxed shoulders. And then for your head, you want it, like we were saying, I think there's some flexibility on where it can be, but you don't want it stuck anywhere. You don't want it stuck here. You don't want it stuck here either. You want it balancing. You want to be mobile. You want it to feel natural. It is an interesting exercise. If you think of your spine going up, and think, how tall can I make my spine feel? Like, and just stretch it up. And it almost makes your body kind of, oh, what was I doing my whole life? Like, just kind of feel a nice lifted sensation. So our nice posture. Now go back to how you'd stand if you were talking to someone in the lobby. I like cock a hip. I kind of stick one foot out. You know, like, I know you're leaning against something. I know. And then we're back. We go back to our, oh, now I'm going to sing soft knees. I'm here. And I think this too, I think it affects you psychologically, and they've done studies about this. If someone has a tall, confident posture, you feel more confident.
Superhero pose. That's
what it's called. What's it called?
The superhero pose.
Superhero pose.
Yourself being like a superhero.
Mm.
And then that way you can do that for
a guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's a guy, Jordan Peterson, and he talks about... they like did studies on lobsters, and like when the male lobsters are going at each other, the one who wins always has the more confident posture. But it almost like then they always win because they're more confident, and the lobster who lost is like all defeated or whatever. But it's like psychologically, if you approach an activity with a confident posture, it's going to make you feel and approach that activity differently. Okay, so go ahead and have a seat. Do what? And now figure it out. Okay, so we will in a second. Our time's gonna go fast, isn't it? Okay, so now we're gonna start. We're gonna just talk about breath for a minute. If you don't mind, this can be a nice way to feel it. So just obviously we want to get a nice relaxed breath. When you breathe, like I already mentioned, you don't want to feel any of this tense up. All that is happening physically up here is your vocal folds are opening to let the air pass through. So you're not, I need a big breath. You might picture that cartoon like in the chest, the chest, if too relaxed, the chest puffs out and it's like, no, that's not what's happening. Our abs and our abdominal muscles are pulling our lungs down and they're filling with air, and we just open our vocal folds and let it happen. So that can be so helpful if you're being thoughtful and checking in while you're singing a song, like, what does this breath feel like when I breathe in between? Is it just a little like a lot of times we can get a pretty decent breath at the beginning, but then through the song, we're like, and like barely making it to the next phrase. So it's a discipline to remind yourself to take that nice breath throughout your song to really help you survive and get through that song. You don't have to do this, but a way to get yourself to feel kind of how quickly it happens is to put your elbows on your knees and try to expel all of your air. And then hold it for like 4 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then just kind of let it rush in. And you bending forward helps you feel it in your back, because when you're breathing, you kind of want to feel it all the way around. And sometimes that feels hard to do. And I think it's because we're up in front of people and we're holding these muscles in a rigid kind of way. But if you do that, you feel the expansion here against your legs and your belly kind of going that way. And you can kind of feel that expansion in your back as well. And then it's like, oh my word, this did nothing. Like this did nothing. Why do I keep trying to work for the breath instead of just allowing it to happen? Yeah. So we want to take a nice relaxed breath. And sometimes I keep my hands here and just kind of, okay, did I expand? Am I feeling it low? You want that sensation of a low breath. So then we'll go to phonating. Now our vocal folds are coming together. And you want efficient vocal fold phonation. You want there to be enough pressure. You want there to be a balance between the pressure, like that full balloon, and that pressure, the subglottal pressure, and your vocal folds coming together just enough to make a sound, not overworking. And then you kind of trust the breath to let it resonate and do all the work for you. You shouldn't feel an over amount of stress and effort in your in your throat. So what do I want to do next?
Okay.
So now we'll talk balanced resonance. When you're breathing for life, it's normally subconscious, right? You don't have to remind yourself to breathe. It happens quickly and quietly. But when you phonate, your exhale happens quickly and quietly. But when you phonate, you are slowing and extending that release of air. So like the balloon shooting across the room, it's just like, oh, now I'm stopping the air and letting it come through slower. And you have that pressure buildup, that subglottal pressure. So this is something you want to manage. You're managing your breath. You have a whole phrase to get through. So you're like, I'm just doing enough to make a sound. I'm saving, thinking through that whole phrase. You want to save it, enjoy it. Your voice is riding on your breath, just that nice and easy. And down here, you're constantly expanding. It's your ab muscles engaging. Like if you do, balloon. We love balloons. Now pretend like you're blowing up a balloon. Let's blow up like an easy balloon. If you put your hands down here, you feel kind of a buoyancy, like they're your abs are helping you extend and kind of manage that breath, and they're engaging. And then if you blow up a hard balloon, they're engaging even more. And it's this, and kind of managing it. You want to trust and use your breath and not overwork your vocal folds. And then we are going to talk about vowels. actually, first, another thing to do this. Let's see. I don't know if I... Okay. That's it. Oral training.
Every morning you greet me.
So let's do a lip trill and go. I should have given you more forewarning for that. So you can just lip. I know. That's what you get when your presenter has mild ADHD. Okay. So we're going to do lip trills and do a few exercises about resonance before we open up to those beautiful vowels. So let's do this on a lip trill. If a lip trill feels uncomfortable, you can do a V. Breathe. Oh, did we breathe relaxed? How does your breath feel? Oh. Yourself time. You can put your hands down here, see what it's feeling like. Okay. Yeah, I see that lip drill. Good job. So this is kind of, we're not thinking too much about making a sound. We're thinking more about our lips or our V's, and the phonation is just happening easily. So this is kind of tricking yourself into doing an efficient vocal production that's like, oh, that feels so easy. So even like if you're practicing a song and it's like, oh, jumping up to that note feels so hard. It's like, easy peasy. You know, it's like, why was that so easy? But so I'm doing my voice, notes in my range. I can sing that note, but you're doing something that's shooting you in the foot. So you just got to figure out what it is and kind of trick yourself into finding that note. Okay, so this is, we're trying to get efficient vocal fold adduction, something. And then we'll open up to vowels. So this, I think you can, this kind of talking about my, when you start talking about communication, I might cheat on this a little bit. But for practice, we're going to have super nice tall vowels that all match. Okay, so we're going to go. You can keep your hands up here and go a e a o u. Mm-hmm. And so we'll go a e a o u instead of the u. And this is going to. You want your jaw to stay relatively in the same position, all of this relatively in the same position, but you're using your lips and your tongue. So let's do it again and try to see these muscles are staying the same. How is my tongue changing? I think it's coming up a little bit like this. A, E, it goes down a little bit. Ah. Oh, ooh. So the tongue kind of stayed the same through those last few, I felt like, but then you had to wrap your lips around that sound to make those sounds. So if we go, yeah, I'll do this. There's another thing I want to do too, but in a second, Megan, in a second. Okay, here we go. I'm going to sing the song again. You can just listen to me the first time, and I'm going to sing it on the vowels, okay? So then that's like you want to maintain the same vowel, but I probably need a little more air. So when I go high, we tend to do this like, I want to go high. So it's that discipline of like, nope, same space, some space, more air. More air. And you might need a little more openness too. You might need to adjust that way, but it's not, you're not reaching for it with those muscles. So try, I don't need Edelweiss. Do you everybody know the words? So we want to take out the consonants and just do the vowels for that song. So I think it's helpful. Yeah. Hand here. Like I'm feeling my breath. I'm relaxing this. Okay. Here we go. Uh-huh. And as we keep going, think I'm singing this whole phrase. I don't want to give it all away. I'm holding, I'm saving air. I have that buoyancy down here, I'm saving. Okay, here we go. Soft and white. Don't give too much away. Breathe. Okay, so just for sake of exercise, now we just want to add the consonants back in. And you can evaluate later, like, am I doing weird consonants? Is this not understandable enough? But for the sake of exercise, think, I didn't change. All my vowels are exactly the same. I'm just sprinkling back in the consonants. Okay. Tall.
Every morning.
still relaxed. Small and white, clean and bright. You look at me to meet me. So it should, for me, I'm like, oh, it's a different discipline to be like, nope, this isn't going to change. This needs to stay relaxed. My jaw's relaxed. That's one thing they say to check if you can, and I can't even do it very well, but if you can move your jaw up and down, then it's like, that's what it kind of, you don't want it, you don't want it held. You want it, it's dropped almost like marbles are back here. The space stays the same, the air shoots kind of thing. And if you're thinking you don't want that much vibrato, that's fine. You can take some of it out, but just like you still want to kind of same space, more air instead of the tension. The tension's not going to help you. So we did balanced resonance, kind of we want to feel that balance. We want to not be, you want an efficient vocal fold deduction. And then we articulation, you want to communicate. The articulation is like the percussion. You're turning the sounds into words. there's this Craig Courtney song that I like. And it's called Wordless Prayer. Have any of you heard it? It sounds a little more like an art song, but the first verse goes, "My words lie still and lifeless as dust upon the sand. I can no longer make one request or one demand. My cup of tears is empty, I can no longer cry. My lips have fallen silent, my prayer is but a sigh." And then it goes into the chorus, but I liked it because it was like, let me find that. That open, nice resonance, and then you're just adding in those consonants because the pitch isn't even changing. "My words lie still and lifeless as dust upon the sand." And then you can play with it if you want to. "My words lie still and lifeless as dust upon the sand. I can no longer make one request or one demand." And you can scoop up a little and hold that vibrato. So it's like you find your good neutral place, and then you can, how can I communicate this better? And you can be dramatic with it and think like, oh, how could I pause? Last night in my first phrase, I don't normally take as long a pause as I did, but I was like, I need a good breath. And so it's like, oh, that was fine. But maybe it made it more dramatic. But sometimes that can help you cheat and get some extra breaths too. But really, just a, like 2 seconds on communication before we leave. I feel like I sing... my heart stays the most engaged when I look at faces. And sometimes I think, I don't think this is helping me because it makes my mouth go wider because I want to smile more because I'm looking at people. And I'm, what is that when you, they did a study, when you look at somebody, you start to immediately and naturally, you start to empathize with them. So if someone looks, whatever, you're starting to feel what they feel. And so that can go, for me as a singer, it keeps me engaged in like, how is this communicating to people? Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes you go to a church and it's like, so like nobody is smiling or reacting or everything. Normally it's like northern churches, I feel like. And then you have some, I'm so serious, not here. But sometimes certain churches, I'm like, oh my word, are they listening? Are they, do they?
He's changing.
And then, but afterwards I talk to them and they'll like be very kind and like, oh, that blessed me. And I'm like, oh, really? I could not tell. But it's like, I think it helps keep me connected with why I'm doing it and how we're all kind of sharing in this struggle and this worship. And then also it makes you keyed into, am I reflecting my facial expressions? Because a lot of times, unless they're Northern, I'm just kidding, they're responding to you, you know, and if I'm smiling and I see other people smiling, it's like, okay, good. And then I'm like, oh, keep smiling because you want your facial expressions to be appropriate with the message. So there might be a more somber passage or more serious or whatever. But it's like, are my eyes engaged? Is my face engaged? And then you want to kind of check in like, oh, am I tensing? Like, because especially if I'm trying to smile a lot, I start tensing. So it's like, I don't want to over smile. So you can kind of watch yourself in a mirror or watch a recording. But just knowing like if I look like I don't care or I look like I'm about to cry. You know how uncomfortable that is when people are up in front and they're, you know, because you're feeling with them. So it's like make their experience of listening to you. I just grabbed my microphone. This is going to be terrible to listen to. Make their experience as, you know, worshipful and as keyed into the words the whole time as you can. And that's a discipline. And a lot of times it's how well you know the song too. So being prepared so that you can communicate it well. But just really being keyed into what your face is doing. And then, and the last thing I had was practicing. It can really help you to warm up. And I don't practice a lot, so I feel kind of hypocritical. I would like to more. But trying to get rid of that tension and like standing, the discipline of standing with good posture for 10 minutes. And you can walk around a little bit if you want, or maybe even while you're doing, like in the shower or while you're doing dishes, trying to hum, do that, the V, we didn't really do it, but you can do a nice hum or an NG sound, like you say sing, you're closing your soft palate. I kind of like it better than humming because I feel like I add tension with humming. I'm like, and I'm doing weird things with these muscles, but that, and you keep your jaw dropped. And the thing with humming and those exercises is it forces you to keep the energy through the whole phrase. Because if you stop that airflow, then it goes away, but you have to go. You have to keep it going. And so I'll let you go now. But so you can just, so relax, stand up straight. Don't use muscles that aren't helpful. You just want that nice vocal fold adduction. Your abs are engaged. This is all relaxed, and communicate as best you can. So we'll close with that. But thank you guys for coming.